Amen. Be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come and look into your word and just hear truths that only you could reveal. And we thank you for that. And just open our minds to receive what you would have for us, Lord. Touch our hearts, give us insight. And so we just thank you for all that you've done for us. And so, Lord, I pray you'd anoint me, and I just speak things of the Spirit, and you pray you'd open each heart to receive of the Spirit. So we just thank you for this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. I have a little over here for you can look at, but you can follow along. Be Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. It says this, "And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, Jesus said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some of the seed fell on the rock, or rocky ground, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it, and some fell among good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, as we're looking at the life of Jesus going through Luke, Jesus is making an impact now, all right? So all of a sudden that, you know, from his beginnings, and I mean, things are happening around Jesus. So what's happening is thousands of people are starting to flock to him and listen. And he's doing all sorts of things and teaching all sorts of things. And so you would think about him, he got all these people, and I get the feeling that Jesus is not real impressed, okay? And because what he does, he gives this parable to He's giving this parable to these masses of people, and he's giving us an understanding of what's going on. Now, I entitled the message, Secrets of the Kingdom, and based on kind of what we've talked about before, the kingdom, you got to look at the kingdom, this is when we step into relationship with Christ, or when the message is given about the relationship of Christ, when the message is given about the spiritual activity of Christ. So that's the kingdom. That's the spiritual kingdom. You could even expand it, and you might even say, with some qualifications, that's the church. You know, those are the qualifications. Those are the people who have accepted Christ. So this is like, here's the secrets of the kingdom. Here's the dynamics about how these things work. And so that's what he says. So he gives this parable. In fact, the few verses after that, he says something like this. His disciples ask, I'll put it that way. His disciples says, "What do you mean? I don't understand. You told us this story. What does that mean?" And he says, It's given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom. So here's the context. You got all these people. He tells this parable, and disciples go, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" He says, "To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom." Meaning, not everybody else is seeing this. It's just the ones who have understanding of this kingdom. And so you have this sower, and he's sowing seed on the ground. Then he says this, the seed, and this is important, okay, the seed is the word of God. So now I've got a context for this picture, okay, of this sower. He goes, the seed is the word of God. So he's given us some insight here. Now, and so what we see is the word of God goes out through the world. We see what happens to people when they hear it, all right? The people are represented by the different types of soil, okay? The word's the same, but the soil's different. And therefore, Jesus explains this parable. So y'all with me? Sowing the seed, all right? And the soil represents the people. The word is the same. The only difference is the soil, And so he's talking about this is what happens when the word goes out. So the first thing he says is this. In Luke 8, verse 12, it says this: the ones along the path are those who have heard, okay? Important thing. They're the ones who have heard. They heard something, okay? The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Now, what, remember, go back to the parable. He threw the seed out, and then the seed was trampled down, and the birds came and ate the seed. Oh, I got that picture, okay? He says, let me tell you what it really means. And this is what it really means. He says, the word went out, people heard, and the devil comes and takes the word from their hearts so they may not believe. Now, there's something here that I think that, you know, Jesus had good control of the language. So he used words what he intended to use. Because I looked at this and I thought he could easily have said, God shared the word and people didn't pay attention. Or he shared the word and people forgot. And he shared the word, you know, and they didn't care. That's all he said. He said the word was spread and the devil came and took it out of their hearts. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. If that's true, I mean, if that, what am I talking about? That is true, because he just said it. When the word goes out, that initiates an activity, a counteractivity. Is God, is the word, as the word of God goes out as an activity of God, what comes back is a counteractivity from the devil. All right? And so he is paying attention. And what the devil does, it takes that word from the heart. So you have, when the word goes out, that tells me there's spiritual activity that takes place. Spiritual activity. Now, we don't, hey, we're just sharing the gospel. They don't believe that. We're just saying, that's just me doing the best I can. No, you got heaven and earth locked in and doing warfare. And what we're doing, we're the ones carrying the word. And the devil knows it. And the devil steals it out of people's hearts. They didn't just forget. They didn't just not pay attention. They were caught up in a spiritual dynamic where the devil stole it from their hearts. And so he says that's what happens when the word goes out. Now, the next thing, and he ends it with this, why? So they may not believe and be saved. They're not believers because the devil stole the word. The devil stole the word. So understand that that's what's happening. Then the next thing he talks about, and again, here's the kingdom dynamic. We'll go, why didn't everybody just hear about the word of God and accept it and be excited? Because there's another dynamic going here. And he's letting us know what's happening, and so we can understand it. Then he goes and he says this, and we have the words sown on rocky ground, all right? And so, as you can imagine, it's hard for the seed to take root on rocky ground, all right? We have that picture. But then this, he says, this is what it really means, Jesus says. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. You ever seen that? You put a seed on the rock, and a place, and you water it and stuff, and it'll sprout. You know, you can watch it. Sometimes you can do a school project. Look at the thing sprout. Okay, so it works like that. So you have that picture, and so that's what he's saying. And so they hear the word, so they heard the word, just like the ones that were trampled under feet, and they receive it with joy. They go, man, this is cool. This is the neatest thing I ever heard. I can go to heaven. And really a lot of excitement. But he says this, they have no root. They have no root. They have no depth of understanding. And they believe for a little while. Now, what are they believing? They're like, hey, this is good news stuff. You know, we got a band playing. Everybody's happy, love the music. And, you know, this is great. And everybody's enjoying it, you know. There's joy. But there's no teaching, there's nothing, there's no root. So they just believe in the superficial things that they've heard, which is true for a while, but it takes no root. And then it says this, they receive it with joy, but they have no root, they believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. Soon as things heat up, Soon as things get difficult, soon as they have to do with difficulties concerning the word, they go, you know, it's not as much fun as I thought it was. You know? I got some other bands I want to listen to. And I don't have any pressure over here, you know. Or I have some other things I can do over here, and there's no pressure over here. That's, and what they do, they fall away under pressure. Why do they fall away under pressure? They heard the word. They didn't have any root. Didn't have any root. They couldn't stand up to the pressure because they didn't have any root strength to deal with the things coming at them. It's just superficial. Amen? So here's the picture. That's the picture. Then he goes on. Now remember, this is one group. So he's talking to, say, 5,000 people, which he did at different times. We'll see that. So he's telling them. He says, this is who's out there. And Jesus is going, I know who's out there. It's like, all 5,000 of you aren't with me. That's what he's saying, you know. And so he's making just understand, everybody to understand the dynamic that's happening, all right. And this is Jesus saying this. Now, then he goes on. And he talks about the word sown among the thorns. Now, my estimation when I look at this, the seed sown by the path, those aren't believers. In fact, it says it right out. They are not saved. They don't receive it. And I do believe when it says these that fall away, I think that what the principle here is that there's no root. And so when there's any pressure, they fall. I don't think those people are saved either. They're just kind of going along for the fun time. So I don't, my personal opinion is both of those groups of people do not know the Lord. They've heard the word, but they do not know the Lord. Now here's another group, and this is where the word was sown among thorns. Sown among thorns. And this is what it says. He says, I'm going to explain this to you. You know what happens? Sown among thorns, and the weeds grow up with it, and the weeds choke out the plants. The weeds choke out the plant. It says the seed took root and grew, but the weeds were there and it choked out the plant. So it says this. Jesus says, let me tell you what this means. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. See, all these people hear. They are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked. Who's choked? People. They are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. See, now what I see here is this took root. They heard the word and it took root. And all the things, and as it grew, took root, and as it grew up, all the things around it grew up with it, and the things with it choked out the Word of God. And what choked out the Word of God is the things of life, even the good things, even the good things. And what happens, they grew up, it choked out, and it says, when it says here, and their fruit does not mature. They can't mature. There's no maturity because it's choked out. That's the reason we weed our garden. You know, if we weed our garden, you get these big plants. You leave weeds in it, you get these little scrawny plants. Okay? But the plants grow, they're just scrawny. All right? So I think what he's telling here, these people, in my estimation, are believers. They heard the word, it took root, and it grew. But everything around them kept them from maturing in their relationship with God. Their passions were split between all the good things that they couldn't give the attention and worship to God that they should have. And as a result, they didn't mature. They were sickly plants. They were sickly plants. Now, so you have that. Does that relate to anybody, by the way? You know? The world, see, and that's one of the things, like we have the devil taking up the seed. But I think one of the things the devil can do, he can give us so much good stuff, we can't mature. See? And we have to learn how to go before the Lord and how to proceed through that. Why? So we won't be choked out.
because he wants us to have a ministry and pour out on us the blessings of God. Amen? Weeds. And again, weeds can be good stuff, what we think are good stuff. Okay, then he goes to the next one, and he talks about the good soil. And he says this, as for the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word. I just repeat that because all these folks are hearing the same word. Okay, they're hearing the word. So the good soil are those who are hearing the word, and they hold fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. The good soil is like, okay, God, honest and good heart. God, I believe what you say, and I'm going to do it. That's all an honest and good heart does. It's, you know, it's not me. You know, honest and good heart, you believe what Wallace says. No, that might be a little naivety, you know, and a little foolish on top of that. No, an honest and good heart believes what the Lord has shown us, and therefore we act out on that, and therefore we bear fruit with patience because of our relationship with God. And we don't let the distractions of the world choke it out. It's our relationship. Amen? That's what he's saying here. So that's the good soul. The good soul bears fruit. Bears fruit with patience. Now, so these people on the good soil, they take root. They take root, and that root goes deep, and there's nourishment, and it produces a crop. And this is where to go deep and to take root. One has to know what's in the Word of God. One has to depend on the Word of God. One has to trust the Word of God. And one has to grow in the Word of God. That's how you take root. It's not like the one on the rocks. Hey, this is fun. We'll go hear a band and we'll be happy and everybody loves Jesus. And we'll just live the way we always did. There's no root there. And when any pressure comes, those people fold. But when you take root in good soil, no matter what comes at you, that you stand strong, and no matter what's all around you and the difficulties, you stand strong. Why? Because you have root. You have root in the Word of God, and that's what you're standing on. And things are push and shove, and but you're taking root. Linda sent me a devotional. Says, you all read this devotional. So I read it. Streams of the Desert. Anybody have that? Streams of the Desert. These people, I tell you what, these are, some of these old folks that wrote these old devotionals are just like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, their walk with the Lord is just, it's just incredible. But in this particular one, it just went through a whole series of things that we go through in life. And I could share with you here, and you go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And what he said, actually, as a woman, what she said, and she says, well, you go through this. This is from God to make you stronger. Then you go through, and this is from God to make you stronger. And this is from God to make you stronger. And this is from God to make you stronger. And I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, you know, and you know, I'm thinking, you know, maybe the seed on the rock's not that bad. I don't, Lordy be, I don't know if I want to be that stronger. Lord, you know, just lighten up. You know, I'm happy where I am. You know, he said, no, you're not anywhere where you are. And you look at the thing. But she went through and all those things. And then it comes up, and in that devotion ends up, now you're refined and God is pleased and God will use you. And the whole purpose is so God can use you. So be blessed, folks. Be blessed. You know? God loves you, you know. And so he is showing us that. But if you don't go deep in the Word of God, you won't stand. You will not stand. I've had this discussion with, this is just transparency. I've had this discussion with Linda. We're talking about, I said, look, if it wasn't for the Word of God, if it wasn't for what God told me, and if it wasn't because I believe it, I think I might just throw the towel in. You know, sometimes. You ever feel like that? But you look and say, no, this is what he said. And so it goes deep, and you can't do it. It goes deep, and you stand because you know what God says. And you see him working it out at the end. And you see a purpose. You see a purpose. The seed on the rock doesn't see the purpose. The rock, they don't see a purpose. It's just, hey, this ain't fun, you know. The seed and the thorns, that's too much other stuff to do, you know. Too much other good stuff to do, you know. But in the good soil, you got, no, we got to do what God says. Now this, I'm talking what God tells you individually, how he speaks to you. And we all have those decisions to make. So you think, oh, Lord. Now, so we all together, the seeds, the sower, and the soil, the word is the same. God said the word was the same. It was the soil. It was what the soil did with the word. It's what we do with the word through the Holy Spirit. Now, here's something that I've always heard this personally preached on is a separate parable. But when I look at it, this is not separate. This whole section is connected. So that's the reason I'm going to share it with you. It's connected. But it's one, the next verse here, and we have an overhead. You can look at this one. Luke 8:16. Because the parable ends in Luke 8:15. So this is 8:16. So what I really believe is 16 here is giving us a further explanation of the parable of the sower. And he's giving us a further explanation of the good soil. Here's a further explanation of the good soil that produces fruit. All right? And he says this. So this is a connection with the good soil, and think of it that way. And then he says this, because you're producing fruit from the word. Then he says in Luke 8:16, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. You put it on a stand and you see the light. That's what the good soil does. Put it on, they receive light, they put it on the stand, everyone sees the light. So there's light. The good soil produces light also. It takes in light. And that's what he says. And that's what good soil does. It shows forth light. Now, as we go in, we're staying in context. Y'all love me doing this. I know you do. Okay? Coming in context. And here's the next flow. We have the good soil, okay, or the parable of the soils. Now we have the light, you know. It says you light a lamp, you put it on the stand, all right? Then here is a teaching of the whole thing. God's tying the whole thing together, the soil and the light. And he says this, and would you look at Luke 8:18. And look what it says. Take care then how you hear. What did each one of those soils say? After they heard, after they heard, after they heard. Now here it says, take care how you hear. So it's all, the soils and the light are the same one. Take care how you hear. For the one who has, take care how you hear. For the one who has more, for to the one who has, more will be given, all right? And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Well, God, that's not very nice. You know, I mean, come on. Yeah. But no, that's what, take care how you hear. See, what he's saying here, the more you hear, the more light you have. Amen? The more you, I mean, I ain't heard nothing. I'm going, I don't know nothing. And you know, you're a dim bulb. You know, you can't hear nothing. Okay. But all that, you've heard a lot. And so more, the more light you have. And that's the point. Same like the good soil, you're producing fruit. So the more you hear, the more light you have. And the more responsibilities you have. Why do you have responsibilities? Because you heard light. See, you have light, therefore you have more responsibilities. And the more light you have, the more light you will be given. See, Lord, what I need to do here, because I want to know how to get over there. See, give me light over there. You know? See, no. You need to do with your light here, and you step into that light, I'll give you more light. That's what he's saying. So we see this, the more light we have, the more light will be given. That's the point. We hear we have light, we accept that light, as we accept that, we give more light. Amen? But what else happens? Oh, I step in that and I have a whole bunch of light. I ain't doing nothing. That's cool. You know, that's good for them. You know, I may write a book or something. Yeah, that's just neat. Well, you're not stepping into that light. Well, it says the warning is if you do not respond to the light you have, what you have will be taken away. It's Jesus in that. If you do not respond to the light you have, what light you have will be taken away. I'm going to share something with you. Just work around in your own mind. You don't have to share with anybody. I just want you to think about it. You have somebody as a believer, and they're a believer, and they have light. They received as much light as you. They go 20 years, they're happy with their light, and they do nothing with it. Do they stay the same? You look at them 20 years and they're not doing well. What'd they do? Nothing. But what they had was taken away. It was taken away because they didn't do anything with it. And you see it going back. See, and you go, how'd that happen? And it almost seems something like, man, they're way worse than when I knew them. And talking about their relationship. Because they didn't respond to the light that they had. They think, oh, that's good. We'll just stay where we are. No. When you hear the word, no one stays where they are. You go forward or you go backwards. That's the truth. That's the truth. Just look around you. Just look around you. And so the lesson is, as he's telling us, that the good soil produces fruit. What is the good soil? The good soil will produce almost fruit and then stop. They're just going to quit. No, it will go and blossom all completely out if you stay into that light and you continue to walk in that light you have, or you go backwards. So we have to understand this as Christians, and this is not talking about salvation. We don't have to go through it. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are saved, and we have a home in heaven. Amen? Period. But while we are here, the rewards and the blessings of God and the power of God using us here depends on what we put forth in the light we have. It just is. It just is. You know, the football team, the guy finally makes the team. He says, I made the team. I'm in until the end of the season. I ain't doing nothing. Then I'm just going to enjoy the banquets, and the people in the stands, it'll just be fun. And at the end of the season, okay, what happens at the end of the season? This guy never played a lick, and he's happy about it, you know. They shout for a touchdown, and he's running around with his helmet off and going, yay, you know, he didn't do nothing. And the thing about it, the players figure out, this guy ain't doing nothing. He's not doing nothing, you know. See, and so, in fact, everybody in the stands go, who is that guy? Who gave him a uniform in the first place? There's an element, but the ones who do well and who are productive for the team put out some effort. They have greater responsibility, and they step out, and they put out some effort. Who goes to heaven? Everybody in the team. Everybody that was on the team. All those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ go to heaven. I love that verse in 1 Corinthians. I think it's 3. Forgive me for not remembering. But it's like, and it says, all our works will be tried by fire. And as we step through, only those things that don't burn up will make it through. What is that saying? You got all this stuff. I got all my weeds. I got all my pleasures of life. I got all this stuff. I got those things. I step in, whoop, it's all burned off. And I'm sitting in there in my underwear before Jesus. I made it. I made it. You see what I'm saying? And that's what this is saying. That's what this is saying. It says, but the things you build into the kingdom, when you build into what God tells you, and you're doing what the Lord tells you, and all those rewards you pull around you, and then when you step through the fire, all those things go through the fire, and God gives you blessings and rewards. But the guy in the underwear and the guy with all the blessings both get into heaven. Amen? I mean, that's what the Word says. We get into heaven by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. But rewards and blessings are based on our commitment to Christ and what we do. And by the way, that goes, you know what I said earlier about that devotional? All this stuff is coming to you, and you're going through this to see if you're grounded and well-rooted, because I want to give you blessings and rewards in heaven. See? And the choice is ours. The choice is ours. And the results are eternal. And I'm doing this being facetious, but I won't make a point. I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus in my underwear. But I'm there. You know, it can't be that bad. It just can't be that bad. Some of you have that picture already and go, this ain't good. This ain't good. You know, or you can go in and you got the blessings of God for cause of your devotion to Him for all eternity. That's what this is saying. That's exactly what this is saying here. And so he's just giving us understanding. Jesus says, this is what happens when the word goes out. But it depends on the soil, and the soil is us. Amen? Now, this is a good place to end, but I refuse to do that. I refuse. Now, here, because it's the same parable. This is how Jesus ends this thing. So he gives this message. Here's the message. And so you're following on chapter 6. And right after that, this is really interesting. And some disciples come up and says, hey, Jesus, we'll let you know your mother and your brothers want to see you. You know, God bless them. I'm talking 5,000 people, and my mother and my brothers want to see me. Like that. Now, by the way, as far as we know, Jesus had 4 brothers and 2 or 3 sisters. Now, they were half-sisters. Okay, because they're Joseph and Mary's children. And be Jesus being the Son of God, Joseph wasn't actually his father, because God the Father was his father. The virgin birth, everybody with me? So that back chapter 1 and 2 of Luke, all right? But Joseph and Mary had other kids, at least 4 brothers that we know of, and sisters, it says in one place. So this guy comes up to Jesus, and he's given this incredible kingdom insight. He says, your mother and your brothers want to see you. Your family wants to see you. Kingdom secret. Listen to what Jesus says. Now, I want you to think. Be with me. Think. This is what Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here. And he's just given this whole incredible insight about kingdom relationships. And Jesus said to them, look at this, Luke 8:21. But Jesus answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. My mother and my brothers are the good soil. My mother and my brothers are the lamp on the stand. That's my family. That's my family. See? Mom and the brothers aren't greater in the kingdom of heaven. They are part of the family based on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have it. Secret of the kingdom. Now just pause again. Who is Jesus' family? Good soil. The lamp on the table. That's the message. And we have a choice. Because who heard the word? Everybody. Everybody heard it. Everybody heard it. But where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? And that's the whole point. Where's the whole point? Now, as soon as we wrap this up, we think, my goodness, the secret of the kingdom, the secret of the kingdom, the sole purpose here, and this is hard for us to get our arms around, the sole purpose for us on this earth, the sole purpose is for us to come in relationship to Jesus. That's it. Now and for eternity. And if we don't come into relationship with Jesus, we don't even have an eternity with Jesus. We're eternally separated. Or if we have a relationship with Jesus and try to take all our earthly junk to heaven with us, you're going to be with me, and both of us are going to be in our underwear. All right? You see what I'm saying? And what's it based on? It's based on our heart. It's based on our heart. So the sole purpose on this earth and for all eternity is for us to come into relationship with Jesus. That's the most important thing in the world. And once we come into relationship, we do what he says. And again, we do what he says. As you go before the Lord and God speaks to you and God shows you what to do. Amen? It's powerful. So God sacrificed everything that we may have a relationship with him. And here we go. Doesn't this put more emphasis on this verse? John 3:16. Doesn't it? God sacrificed everything so that we'd be in relationship with him. Okay, God, I want to be in relationship with you, but I won't take all this trash with me. All right, come on. Because it's going to be a hot fire and none of us going to make it, you know. Or you have this relationship with me, but I just love the world and that's too much pressure. Then you know, for eternity, you're without him. God goes, be the good soil. Be the good soil. They all heard the word. What? They heard that. Why'd they do that? And they heard that. Why'd they do that? And they heard that. Why'd they do that? Right there. The point is, what do we do? What do we do? That's the point, you know. Good soil, the lamp on the table, the lamp on the table. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, have eternal life with him. That's it. That's why we're here. Now, everything else flows out from that. Everything else flows out from that. Why don't we just thank God? Thank God that we have a home in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you love us more than we can ever imagine. And Lord, we look at this. We just look at this as you're telling us to make decisions for you in our life. That just, you've loved us, and you're just saying, love me back. Just love me back. When things get bad, love me back. When you get overwhelmed, just love me back. And as we love him back, he says, I'm going to give you more light. When you love me back, I'm going to give you more light. You're going to see more things. And then you're going to reap rewards and blessings here and that lasts for all eternity. I don't understand that, but that's what it says. Things we do here, we are given rewards that stay with us for all of eternity. God, we thank you for that. We thank you that you love us more than we can ever imagine. We give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.